You're listening to the Renew Life Church podcast. We hope this message inspires you and challenges you to become a true disciple of Jesus. To find out more about us, go to renewlifechurch.com.
Good morning. Y'all good? Yeah? Can you give it up for the worship team and tell them thanks for leading us? It's awesome, right? They have been at it today. First service, I felt strongly that we were supposed to stay in worship. So they stayed up here the entire time and sang their hearts out and played. And it was a beautiful time. So really thankful for people that are willing to just love on people and love on the Lord. So I'm excited. I want to share something right out of the gate. First off, I want to just honor and welcome any first-time guests that may be in the room. Church family, would you welcome anybody that might be in the room for the first time? Tell them thank you for coming. I know that there's some new faces in the room, so praying that you find a home here if you don't have one elsewhere. But I wanted to share something that we're really excited about. Last year, our team, our youth team, Rabe, the guy that was leading worship right here, is our youth pastor. I've known Rabe for a very long time. Yeah, there he is right there, that man. Y'all like how I said his name and he just kind of slid around the corner? It just stood there like, you gonna say something about me or not? Rabe is an amazing man. I've watched Rabe get to grow up in a lot of ways. He was a student at one point when I was a youth pastor in my youth group, which is really strange. I have two of my own kids that are now students in his youth group. So it's just a really cool full circle kind of moment. But Rabe and his team are absolutely crushing it. Our students are being led deeper and into a real relationship with God. And last year we put on, Rabe and his team put on a youth camp that was just kind of, in my opinion, the best one I've ever been to. And it wasn't that it was the last one that I went to. You know, sometimes you go to a steakhouse and it's like, this is the best steak I've ever had. It's like, no, it's not. It's just the one that you're having right now and you think it is. You know what I'm saying? They're not all the best ones ever. Youth camp was the best one that I've ever been to. And you can't argue with me. It was amazing. We saw 98 students come through camp. We saw over 20 salvations at camp. We baptized 16 students spontaneously at camp. Kids are calling their moms and their dads saying, I know you're not here, but can I get baptized? That was one of the requirements. Hey, you have to clear it with your parents because we're not coming home to moms and dads being mad at us that we baptized your kid and you didn't get to see. So they're calling their moms and dads, they're waiting. They're literally just waiting for a phone call that says you can get baptized. It's going to be okay. We're baptizing kids in a lake that's got crawfish in it. I've never been bit by a crawfish and baptizing someone at the same time. That happened at camp. Camp was just amazing. 10 students that we know of received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Multiple kids got radically healed. One girl got completely healed of a dislocated elbow on the spot. One girl, the mud pit is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, FYI. And I wanna go. I wanna go as an adult and I wanna do adult things in the mud pit. I want us to have adult camp. Could you do that for us, please? Yeah, okay, so night one, mud pit, there's a dislocated elbow and I think broken bones in an ankle. That's when you know camp is right. You know what I'm saying? It's a good one. But the beautiful thing is the night that happened, or the day that it happened, on the night of that, they come, one's in a sling, one's in a boot, on crutches. They both got healed. No, I don't think you understand. The girl with the boot on and the crutches during worship got healed. So we're on the rec field and afterwards she doesn't have the boot on and she's not using crutches. And I'm like, okay, wait, something changed. Look them in the eye, you look different. She's like, yes, I do, I don't have a boot on. I'm like, what happened? She tells me the story, I was like, hey, will you come with me? So we go and we find the girl that's got the sling on, her elbow's messed up. And I said, all right, here's what we're gonna do. Have you ever prayed for someone to get healed? And she was like, I've never prayed for anyone to get healed. And I was like, great, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lay your hands on her. I want you to release your faith that made you well, because I believe that Jesus wants to make her well too through you. So I just led her through some things. She repeated some things. And the second time that she prayed, the girl with the elbow straightens out her arms and just loses her mind. It was just the coolest thing. And so I want to show you a quick video that our team put together about camp. This is a promo video. If you would just turn your attention to the screen just for a few moments. So, so excited. Yeah, give it up. That's awesome. So July 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th is when youth camp is happening in Glorieta, New Mexico, in the beautiful mountains. It's just a beautiful place. If your student is not signed up, we want your student to join us. I believe that it's going to be transformational. If you need help, you can scan so that there's a card on your chairs. There's a QR code. You can scan that QR code. It'll take you to our website. On that website, there's just a landing page, all things youth ministry in terms of camp. You can register your child. Within that, there is also a form for financial assistance. If maybe you want to send your kid, but $499 is expensive, I know. If that's too much and you still want to send your kid, like fill out this form concerning financial assistance. No shame in that. We've got people that want to help. In fact, I would say this too. If you're someone who is an empty nester and you want to sow into the next generation in youth camp, you can do that too. Like, we're not discounting anyone. We're really asking for that assistance, but also mostly that you would pray. That you would actually pray that God actually continues to move into shake in our young people, amen? That they actually come every Wednesday night. I would just ask that you would pray for our students in general, not just for camp, but that they come Wednesday nights and things are changing and things are falling off of their lives. They start to look different in your home. Come on, somebody, amen? I wanna look at my kids and say, you look different today. Sometimes I'm like, whose kid are you today? How did you go to sleep one way and wake up a different way? Like, what is happening? But just be praying for our students and praying for our leaders. I believe that God is doing some incredible things, and we're really excited. So, amen? Awesome. I'm excited about sharing with you this morning. I'm going to pray, and then let's dive in. We've got about 19 minutes. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for moving as you have. I thank you for the beauty of who you are. Thank you that you would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. I pray, Father, that you would enlighten us as it is, as it pertains to your heart and your kindness towards us. We thank you that you have a plan and you have a purpose for our life. It is good, and you are good, and you are good all the time. I thank you, Father, that you would land in this room with us, give us rest and peace, and take us deeper into your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start out by saying this. I believe that every single person in this room is here on purpose. I believe that you're on the earth in this moment and in this time on purpose. I know some of us are like, you know what, I wish I would have been born in a different era, like the Wild West, so I could just clean up the streets. You know what I'm saying? I think the chuckles confirmed that I was right about that. Like, yes, Wyatt and the Huckleberry Doc were great, great people, I'm sure, but you weren't born in that era, you're born in this one. Sorry about your bad luck. But the thing is this, I don't believe that God makes mistakes. I don't believe that you're a mistake. I don't believe that your life is a mistake, but I don't believe that the timing in which you were born was a mistake. I actually believe that if you were born in this moment and in this time, that you were born for such a time as this, for this body of believers, for this city, for this state, for this nation that is one under God. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm still declaring that we are a nation under God. It doesn't matter what it looks like and what I see. I am declaring that we are a nation under God. Amen. America, the United States, is a Christian nation. Anybody agree? Amen. Amen. Okay. I believe that you were born on purpose. And I believe that you weren't just born to live life and to meet your needs and have you get a job and all of the different things. No, I'm believing, and I'm hoping that today I wake up some wonder in you, that you might say, you know what, I want to be a part of history and not just a bystander watching it happen. I believe that God wants to reveal some things to us through our eyes, through our vision, through dreams. You know, God speaks through dreams. God speaks through open-eyed visions. God actually, the prophet Habakkuk, he says this in chapter 2. He says, I will take my place on the wall as a watchman, and I will watch to see what the Lord will say. It's like, well, hold on a second. You're talking about watching. You're talking about something that was said. Did you know that you can hear God through your eyes? You're like, oh, this is a weird church. I'm talking about the fact that God actually wants to tell you something through what you see. He wants to tell you something concerning your life through your dreams. He wants to give you visions of what he has for you in the future. God actually wants to cause some things to happen in your life. God speaks through pictures. God speaks through dreams. God speaks through visions. And Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see dreams, and your old men, visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is speaking to his people and he is revealing mysteries to them. Say mysteries. I'm glad you brought up mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says this, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God." Now watch this. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that you and I might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he would instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The Holy Spirit, he searches the deep things of God, the mysteries of God, and then he chooses to reveal them to us, those that have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God. Did you know that God actually has things that he wants to talk to you about? I'm gonna talk to this side of the room over here. Did y'all know that God has things that he wants to talk to you about? Yes. Amen. Y'all want another shot? Just kidding, I'm totally fine. Just joking. John chapter 14, verse 26, he says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring into your remembrance all things that I said to you." I love the promise of the Holy Spirit. Two chapters later, Jesus doubled down on the role of the Holy Spirit. He says this in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 15. He says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." I believe that God is still speaking today. I don't believe that God's voice died with the apostles. I believe that the Holy Spirit is alive in this room. I believe that where two or more are gathered in my name, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God is actually in our midst. That is here, that is now. I was thinking about this, and I don't know if y'all have ever heard of what a treasure hunt. Y'all ever been on a treasure hunt? I got some smiles, some nods. Some of you are like, I don't know what this is about to happen. There was a group of students once, and I was like, hey, we're gonna go on a treasure hunt. Here's what this treasure hunt looks like. We're actually gonna get together, and we're gonna pray. Holy Spirit, will you show us any clues about a person that we don't know of that you want us to go minister to? This already sounds crazy, I get it. So we get before God, and we just begin to pray. And I tell the students, write down anything and everything that you hear, anything that you see, just write it down, anything at all. And then we're gonna take this list and then we're gonna pray and we're gonna ask God for the wisdom behind, like, what are you saying? So there was this group of students, they began to pray and there were things that were said Like, okay, I see someone with like a red garment on. I don't know if it's a shirt or a jacket or a backpack. I saw someone on a bicycle. I just kept hearing the word Orlando. Like, I'm telling you what it was happening in the room. I think this person's homeless, and I'm hearing the name Jesse and the name Delia. And I'm like, okay, so this is our list. All right, okay, let's work through this. So like what we arrived at the place of understanding was that Orlando meant Florida Street. So I was like, okay, let's load up. Let's go find this person in red on a bicycle, maybe homeless, somewhere on Florida Street. This is sounding crazy, I get it. So we get in the car. There's about eight of us. We get in the car. We start driving down Florida Street. We're driving and we're looking for this person. We get all the way to the interstate. We haven't seen this person yet. And I'm like, well, it was a good try. You know what I'm saying? Like, swing and a miss sometimes. So we turn around at the interstate and we're starting to like make our way back. And as we turn around, there are a couple of clubs, if you will, social gathering places. And this particular lady got out of this car in a very, 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 very super small red miniskirt. And one of the students were like, there they are, there they are. And I was like, no, it's not them, it's not them. I'm like, Lord, please, Jesus, do not let me be the youth pastor that pulls up into the parking lot of a bar, gets all my students out of the car and says, ma'am, can we pray over you? I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not her, guys. There's no bicycle. I'm like, I'm canceling it fast as I can. I'm like, there's no bicycle. I'm pretty sure she looks like she's got a home. She, like, this is not her. And we keep driving down the road, and we get all the way back here to Florida and Big Spring Street, and we stop behind a couple of cars, and out of the corner of my eye on one of the side streets, I see a guy on a bicycle with a red backpack. And one of the kids saw it too, and they're like, I saw someone. So I turned a U in the middle of Florida. We find this guy, we get out, we chase him down. I'm sure he was like, what is happening? And one by one, the students began to say, we were praying. And the Lord showed me that I would find someone on a bicycle with a red garment on. Yours happened to be a backpack. Does the name Jesse mean anything to you? And these are students. These are junior high and high school students. Does the name Jesse mean anything? He's like, actually, Jesse's the name of my best friend who's been missing for 3 days. I don't want to pry too much, but like, are you homeless? He's like, actually, yeah, I live in the back of a warehouse that I break into every night. I don't know if this means anything to you, but man, the weirdest name came to my mind, and it was this name, Delia. He's like, yeah, it's my best friend's mom who's on her deathbed. Like, these are crazy things. And they all came through the Spirit of the living God. I'm telling you that God actually wants to speak to you through dreams and visions. One by one, the student said, I saw red. I saw a bicycle with my eyes, and they were hearing God. I love this about God. They were operating, all of these students, I wish you could see their faces when all of these things started clicking. They're like, hold on a second, like, you mean that I could hear God in this way? And I'm like, yes, absolutely you can. They were operating in the gift of word of knowledge, where God was revealing knowledge to them about someone else's life. This happens all throughout scripture. It happens all throughout our daily lives. I believe that God is ramping this up even more. So he wants to speak to you. I'm having more dreams and more visions than I've had in a very long time. I know that spilling over onto our staff, I know that there are people in our congregation that are hearing things that they've never heard before. I was thinking about this message, and this story popped up in my mind. There's a man, a prophet out of Houston that I used to follow. He told this story. He said that he was friends with a guy who was a part of this task force that helped to find people that were caught up in human trafficking. So he said he was driving down the road in Houston. I know this is gonna be like, this is too much. Driving down the road in Houston, And as he's driving down the road, he saw this like nail salon, and then behind it, connected to it, was a warehouse. He said, as I was driving down the street, what I saw when I looked out of my window were four women chained to a wall inside. He's like, but I'm on the outside. So he calls his buddy. He's like, hey, this is going to be crazy, but like, I think the Lord's speaking to me about something that's happening in this warehouse. Little by little, they kind of come together. Long story short, they breach a back door in this salon. And in this warehouse, they find four young women that are chained to a wall. Like that's mind-blowing. That God actually cares that much that he would say, hey, there's something crazy happening and you should speak up about it. Will you be a part of history, or will you just let it happen and just watch? Like, it shifted everything, obviously, for these four young women, and this happens through the power and the revealing of the Holy Spirit. I share these things because what I'm trying to get you to understand and wake up your wonder a little bit is that this doesn't just happen through mature people or people that have a microphone and stand on a stage on Sunday. This happens through people that'll say, Jesus, I want to love people like you love them. Will you help me? Will you just, Lord, will you open my eyes that I would see something different? That's the intention, and that's the heart behind God actually saying, yes, let me help you out with this. You know, I think sometimes we hear these stories and like, okay, those are cool. Like, yeah, there are people that have spiritual experiences. I don't know if spiritual experiences are for me. Like, oh yeah, I see like even worship, like, whoa, they're having a spiritual experience. That's interesting. I'm not so sure that I like that. I heard it said like this. A mentor asked another guy, he said, what lasts longer, the spirit realm or the physical realm? Your answer would be? Okay. He says, yeah, of course, it's the spirit realm. Then this mentor said this, you are living as if you are a material being having some spiritual experiences. But the greater reality is that you are a spirit being having a physical experience. That's the way that we have to live, and that's actually what Jesus died for us to live by. And Jesus didn't just die and be resurrected to get you into heaven. He actually died so that heaven would actually get into you. That the realities of heaven and the mystery of heaven and the power of heaven would actually begin to shift and change the things on the inside of you, that you might start living supernaturally like Jesus really died for you. You shouldn't just be experiencing the spiritual. You should actually be walking in the supernatural because Jesus died for you to do so. And he sent his Holy Spirit to empower you to do something different than what you've ever done before. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that you would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Like, there's something that happens. The Holy Spirit rests on the inside of you for your sake, but he comes upon me. He rests in me for my sake, but he comes upon me for your sake. That's what happened with these young kids. The Holy Spirit came upon them for the sake of this man, this young man that was broken, this man that was hurting, this man that was homeless, this man that needed some help. The Holy Spirit came upon. My question is, would you allow the Holy Spirit to come upon that you might live in such a way for such a time as this that you actually shape history, not just watch it happen? Like, okay, well, this sounds great, but what if I get it wrong? Welcome to the club. It's gonna happen, 100% gonna happen all the time. Like, there have been times and I've stood on the stage and I have said things and people identified with it, and then there have been times I've stood on the stage and it was a swing and a miss. Like, a bunch of times over and over again. But can I tell you, like, the scripture doesn't change. And he says that I desire that all would prophesy. I'm gonna keep trying. I started fly fishing a few years ago, and one of the first things that I ever experienced was an encounter with God on the river. And the guy sets up my fly setup, and he's like, all right, so you gotta fly here, you gotta fly here, and you've got this indicator, this strike indicator, and sometimes what you have to understand is when the water gets shallow, your indicator is going to bounce like it's a fish, but it could be the bottom. It could be your bottom fly hitting the rocks. But he said this, hey, setting the hook, they're all free. Sets are free. So if you think that you think it's a fish, set the hook, because it might be. It might be a rock, might be a stick, but it might be a fish. And I was doing this over and over. I don't know how many times I had free sets. I was just taking advantage of free sets, you know, like, if they're free, I'm gonna get my money's worth, you know, like, just, and I'm just setting hooks, and finally I caught a fish. Like, it was amazing. But you know what? Every time that I've ever set the hook and thought it was a fish and it was a stick, do you know that I didn't keep that stick? I didn't like, man, this is a great stick. Look at the size of this stick. It's brown and sticky. I can't tell you anything about any of the sticks that I've ever hooked. I don't put them in the net or take pictures. I don't pose with a stick. Can I say this? Like, we as fishermen, we get hung up on the fish that we catch because that's what we're doing. And I would say this, as it pertains to exercising and hearing God and trying to listen to God, don't get hung up on getting it wrong. Let your faith get hung up on the times that you get it right. Take this into consideration. Just put your line and your lure back in the water, because I promise you that the river is actually full of fish. And this God actually has things for you to say, things that he wants to reveal to you about you or to about your family or the people around you. If you will just continue to live life in his current, at one point or a time or another, you're actually going to set the hook on a word that changes someone's life. Don't keep the sticks. Throw them back in the water. Actually, don't do that. Throw them on the bank so nobody else catches the stick. If you get it wrong, you get it wrong, but put your line back in the water. Our confidence in hearing God is directly related to our confidence that we have in him. That's where it has to lie. Think about Caleb and Joshua. They're sent on this mission with these other spies to spy out this land that God was going to give them. Joshua and Caleb come back with the rest of the spies and they give their report. And Joshua and Caleb's report looked different than everybody else's report. Joshua and Caleb are like, no, we can actually go and possess this land. Do you know why they said that? Because they were confident that God said he was going to give it to them. The other spies in this moment, they're like, no, the giants, they're too big. They're just too big. They're too strong for us. We can't actually go overtake them. And Joshua and Caleb are like, listen, God said that he was giving our people this land. Therefore, we should go up and take it. I wonder how often we stop going after the promises of God because it looks like it's too hard for us to obtain them. And God said, I am going to bring you peace. Yeah, I just don't know. That sounds too hard. What am I going to have to do to get it? Sounds too tough. Our confidence in our ability to hear God has to be directly related to our confidence that we have in him. I want to read this quote to you, and then I'm going to share one last thing, and we're going to close this. I read this quote, and it says this, the opening of our eyes will be the silencing of our fears. In the dark, we are more apt to be frightened. The clearer sight we have of the sovereignty and the power of heaven, the less we shall fear the calamities of this earth. When your eyes are opened in a different way, when your faith eyes are opened, everything starts to look different. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. This is a really powerful story. I'm going to end it with this. It says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, so Elisha the prophet, sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware, you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So he's giving them warning about what's going to happen. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which Elisha, the man of God, told him. Thus he warned them, and he was watchful there not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, Will you not show me which of you is for the king of Israel? In other words, why are you selling my plan out? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. That's wild to me. So he said, go and see where he is that I may send to get him. And it was told to him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Then the servant of the man of God, the servant of Elisha, arose early and went out. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? I've never used that language before. Alas, my master. So he answered, do not fear. I love this. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It's this crazy thing, like Elisha sells out the plan of the enemy. The enemy's going to retaliate, and they come in by night. The next morning they wake up, Elisha's servant wakes up, and all he sees is something to be afraid of. I don't know what you woke up like this morning or yesterday, what you have going on or what the enemy is trying to say you should be afraid of, but the servant could see armies surrounding them. You might be seeing a diagnosis. You might be seeing something that looks terrible for your marriage. You might be seeing something that is a cycle in your kids that you don't like. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to pray in just a minute, and I believe that God is going to open your eyes to see something different, because Elisha, it said, he says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them. But Elisha was seeing something way different than what this servant was seeing. And then when Elisha prayed that the servant's eyes would be opened, his eyes were opened, and what did he see? He saw like Elisha saw. He didn't just see the horses and the chariots of the enemy. No, he saw the horses and chariots of fire that were the armies of the living God. And he said, no, more are with us than that are against us. I believe that God wants to open your eyes through dreams and visions to show you that you might be up against something. But like Kyle was saying earlier, you're with the one who has the victory. And to remind you that greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in this world. He might be forming against you, but the weapons don't have to prosper. Open my eyes that I would see, Lord, that I would see something completely different. What he first saw was too daunting. And then his eyes of faith were opened. Have you ever had the eyes of your faith opened? When you started seeing something different? You started praying something different? It's like, no. Yeah, they might be all around me. Oh, but Psalm 23 tells me that they might be around me, but what do they get to do? Oh, they get to sit at the table because the Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Oh yeah, they might be forming, but guess what? You get to sit here, fear and shame and guilt and anxiety and depression. You actually get to sit at my table while watch me feast on the goodness of God, because my eyes have been opened to see his goodness, not your threat. God wants to open some eyes this morning. He wants to speak in some ways that maybe you haven't had him speak to you before. So I'm gonna ask you to stand, and I'm gonna pray. If you would you just close your eyes and engage with me for a moment? Before I pray, I just want us to first take a second. I'm not telling you to drum up something emotionally in this moment so that you can feel like you participated, but if you have something that seems too big that seems too large, too tough to overcome. I want you to envision what that is. Because the servant saw chariots and horses of the enemy, and immediately he thought, that's too big for us. The other spies, Joshua and Caleb, they said, the giants are too big, for we are like grasshoppers in their sight. What has fear showed you? I just want you to do this. I want you to take both of your hands and I want you to lay them on your eyes. Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes, that they may see. That they may see the chariots and the horses of fire that surround about them. That they would see that there are more for them than there are against them. God, open their eyes, eyes of faith, to see that you're greater . Thank you, Father. Yeah, Lord, I bless you. I thank you that you are for us and you're not against us. God, I thank you that there are moments and there are experiences happening in the room, like what Saul experienced, where when his eyes were opened, it was like scales fell off of his eyes and all of a sudden he saw differently. I pray that you would give us eyes of faith. God, I pray that you would open the eyes of our faith, that when it looks this way or that way, we would be settled on what you're saying through what we can see. Keep us in this position of always going high, always going to the high place in prayer, that we might see what you're saying about our situation. Because I know that you speak a better word and you always have a better one for us. God, I ask that right now you would increase all across this room, you would increase dreams in the nighttime, that you would speak to us and speak to our children in the nighttime as they sleep. That God, you would reveal to us, just like you said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that you would reveal to us the hidden mysteries, the deep things of the kingdom of God as we sleep. I pray that you would open our eyes and give us just open-eyed visions of what it looks like and what you're saying for heaven to invade the earth. God, I pray that we would stop seeing in black and white and we would stop limiting what you can do, but we would actually be seeing in full color the creativeness and the creative genius of yours, God. God, I thank you for these things. I pray them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you felt encouraged by today's message. If you need prayer or would like to connect with us, find us on social media or by going to renewlifechurch.com.